Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, please. Chapter 12, and as you're turning there, we're going to welcome visiting with us today is Joseph Chris Arnett from Conneautville, PA. We're glad to have you with us today. And Mark and Carol Rogan from Portland, Tennessee. Amen. Good to have you with us. Praise the Lord. We're glad you're here. Hope you'll come and be with us as often as you can anytime you're in town or passing through. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, I'd like to read very famous and familiar verses for you, verses 1 and 2, and let's go there. The Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege of knowing Christ as Savior. We thank you for the privilege, by grace through faith in him, of calling you Father. Thank you for that relationship that you established that day when we were born into the family of God by grace through faith in Christ. And thank you for your everlasting love that you have loved us with, and the power that you keep us with. And now, my Lord, I pray that as we look into the Word of God, that you, by your Holy Spirit, would open the lips of your servant to speak in the heart of every person in this room and every person listening. And Father, you might do a work there, that you might speak to our hearts by your Spirit, that you might challenge us, that you might change us, that you might convict us and comfort us. And Father, we might go out of this place saying it was good to have been in the house of the Lord, that we might go out better than we came in. And Father, you might glorify yourself, magnify your Son, edify your people, and save the lost. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'd like Mark Herbstritt to come up here for just a minute. Come up here, Mark. I need you to do something for me. Rob, would you come up here too? I don't need you to do anything up here. I just want you to pick up a few things for me. Come over here. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The writer likens the Christian life to a race that is set for us to run, and a race that is set by God. Now, in chapter 11, we've just been introduced to men and women who have already run their race. And it says they ran their races by faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7, it says, "Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." And so here Noah, by faith, built an ark, warned of things he had never seen. That's faith. Now listen, head of household. You are responsible for the welfare of your family. It says that Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. You're responsible not only for your family, for the physical, but also for the spiritual. You are responsible for your family not only for the temporal, but also for the eternal. Now, Noah believed God that judgment was coming, and he built an ark to deliver himself and his family and whosoever would believe his message of judgment coming and enter into the ark for safety. Are you following me? Noah's ark is a physical picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ark of safety, the Lord Jesus, is the only one who can deliver you and your family and whosoever will enter in by faith.
The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so God has told us there's a judgment day coming in the Scripture. And the only way to prepare for that judgment day is to get into the ark of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And so just as Noah entered into that ark by faith that the judgment of God was coming, we need today to walk into the ark of Jesus Christ by faith, believing that he's the only one that can deliver us from the wrath to come. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, it says that Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He was looking at the unseen. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, speaking of all those that are mentioned in the chapter, it says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. And with all these individual examples, God entreats us to run our race. And just as they had their eyes on a heavenly city and a heavenly country, we are to have our eyes on our heavenly King. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Christian race is run by those who know Christ as their Savior. The way you get in the Christian race that's mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 12 is you have to be saved. You have to be born into God's family by grace through faith in Christ. You signed up for the race the day you got saved. You entered into the race of the Christian life the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. And only those who have Christ as their Savior are running in this race. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now the race is run to obtain crowns. The Bible speaks of five different crowns that the Lord Jesus is going to give to the runners. We see the Apostle Paul's desire in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, where he wrote this, that I might finish my course with joy. Paul's desire was to finish his course. In other words, Paul said, I'm in this race of the Christian life. And he said, I want to run it all the way to the end. Paul didn't want to run a quarter of the race. He didn't want to run half the race. He wanted to run the whole race. And we read about his victory in 2 Timothy 4:7 when he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. So Paul's desire was, I want to finish my course with joy. And he writes to Timothy, he said, I did. I finished my course. And I've kept the faith. And we read about his prize in 2 Timothy 4:8. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So you know what Paul's saying to us today? He's saying, listen, my desire was to run my course, to finish my course with joy. Paul said, I wanted to start, and I wanted to run all the way to the end. And he says, I did. I finished my course. And you know what? He said, because I finished my course, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me in heaven that Jesus is going to give me someday when I get there. And he said, and you can get one too. He said, there are crowns for you if you'll run the race, if you'll finish your course, if you'll keep the faith. Paul had a one-track mind to finish his course and to run his race to the end. Now, finishing the race means that you're still in the race at the end. You're still found running. Many times, runners stop shy of the finish line for various reasons. Sometimes it's because they had a lack of discipline. You know, they're running along and they're running their race and they're doing well, and oh, there's a Cold Stone Creamery. Lack of discipline, huh? Some people, it's a lack of preparation. They sat on the couch and watched television all summer, and toward the end of summer, it's time to get in a race, and they're not fit. They haven't prepared. They don't have the right shoes. They don't have the right equipment. They don't have the right training. Lack of preparation. They get in the race. They don't last very long. Sometimes it's a lack of determination. They didn't get in the race to win. They just got in. It was like, you know, a fun thing to do. Some people, because they get distracted, fall out, and others cheat. Sad to say, some Christians drop out of the race. The question is, are we in the race to finish? That's my question to you today. Are you in the race to finish? Are you in this thing to run all the way to the end, or are you just going to run for a while? Now remember, this race is run by faith. So only those who put their faith in Christ are in this race. And this race is reserved for those who qualify. And the only way to qualify is to be born again, because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Where does our race end? Our race ends in the kingdom of God. Our race ends in heaven. And so the only those who are going to see heaven can be in the race, and only those that will see heaven are those who have been born again by grace through faith in Christ. You know, you can only enter this race through the straight gate. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, the Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. So Jesus said, this race is run, and you've got to enter this race through the straight gate, and this race is run on a narrow path. And then he said in John 14, 6, I am the way. So Jesus said, he's the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we're running our race on a road that goes to heaven. Jesus is the gate to get on that road, and he is the road itself to take us to heaven. In John chapter 10, verse 9, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, there's another way which Jesus spoke, but it's not the way to heaven. And a crown is not awaiting, but rather eternal destruction. Because he said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Folks, the broad way leads to hell, and the narrow way leads to heaven. Jesus is the narrow way to heaven, and everyone and everything else that is trusted or worshipped for salvation constitutes the broad way that leads to hell. On that broad way, there's room for every religion in the world. On that broad way, there's room for anybody to be the Lord. It can even be you yourself. On that way, there's room for lots of gods and goddesses. And on that way, there's room for all kinds of sin and debaucheries. It's a broad way. And everybody's partying on the Broadway all the way to hell. He said, but there's another way. It's called a narrow way. Jesus is the door. He is the gate. And he is actually the way. And it said, few there be that find it. We are naturally born on the Broadway. But we must choose the narrow way. You don't choose the Broadway. You're born on it. You see, when I was born into this world, I was born a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I was walking on the broad way, right? And I believed what I wanted to believe, and I thought what I wanted to thought, and I did what I wanted to do, and the broad way. But there came a point in my life where as I was walking on the broad way, I saw this little door. I saw this little narrow gate. And it said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it was signed Jesus. And I had to choose which way I was going to go now. I could keep going on the broad way, or I could go on the narrow way. I could go on the broad way and end up in hell, or I could go through this little gate called Jesus and get on the narrow way to heaven. And what did I have to do to get on that? I didn't have to quit anything. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to give anything up. All I had to do was enter in by faith at the straight gate. Where are you at today? What way are you walking on right now? You're already on the broad way. That's how you were born, on the broad way. But you have to choose to go on the narrow way. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. Just for a little moment here. Let's bow our heads. I want everybody to bow your head if you would, please. I'm going to ask you a question. There might be somebody, because I'm going to be sharing some things about the race. And I want to know if there's anybody in this room right now who needs to get on the narrow way, that needs to get in this race. You know you're on the broad way. You're maybe trusting in religion, you're trusting in yourself, you're trusting in your works, you're trusting in who knows what manner of things to go to heaven. But you need to realize that Jesus is the only way. And you can't go to the kingdom of God without Him. And the only way you can have Him is by grace through faith, by trusting Him as your Savior. And maybe there's someone in this room right here, right now, who says, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to have Jesus as my Savior. I want to receive the gift of eternal life. I'm willing to choose Jesus as my Savior today." Is there anybody like that here today? If you would like to do that, I want you to look up at me. Only people looking up are those who are saying, "Preacher, I know I need to be saved. And I know I need Jesus as my Savior. And I would like to put my faith and trust in Him right now, right where I sit, in the privacy of my own heart and mind." Anybody like that here? Is that what you would like to do? Was that what you'd like to do too? All right. Anybody else? All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. But it's not a magic prayer. It's called a prayer of faith. The Bible says man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on your heart. And if you believe what you pray, God sees that as your faith. All right, you ready? Bow your head. Pray this. Say, "Dear Lord, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. And I can't do anything to save my soul. But I believe Jesus came to earth and died on a cross and shed His blood to pay for my sins and was buried and rose again. And right now, dear Lord, I'm trusting You as my Savior. I'm asking You, forgive my sins and save my soul. Come into my heart and into my life and save me." If you prayed that prayer in a minute in your heart, I want you to look up at me. On the authority of God's Word, the Bible says, "Whosoever," does that include you? Sure. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord," did you call upon the name of the Lord? "Shall be saved." Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." By faith today, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and the gift of eternal life which He gives. Congratulations. All right, everybody else look up. We're going to continue. I just wanted to make sure everybody was on the road. So, you've chosen Christ as Savior. You're in the race, and you have determined to run to the end. You are in the race to win a crown, just like Paul said. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:24, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" Here he says, "So run that ye may obtain." Paul says here, listen, if you're going to run, run to win. If you're going to live the Christian life, live it. If you're going to be a Christian, be one. Don't be half-stepping. Don't be pretending. Just get in the race and start running, and don't stop running until you... There's Jesus. Until you're all the way at the end of the course. But if you're going to run to win, it will require several things. And that's what we want to look at. Number one, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it's going to mean that you have to run lightly. Lightly. Look what it says. "Wherefore, seeing ye also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," that's the people in chapter 11, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Did you see? He's talking about running lightly. And if you want to finish the race, then it will require that you lay aside or jettison a couple of things. And one of the things you need to jettison, it says here, are weights. Now here's a weight. And so I want to run this race, right? You think I'm going to run a race very well carrying this thing around? So what does the Lord say? He says you need to lay aside the weights. You know what the weights are? The things that slow you down. If you look the word up in the Greek in which it was written, it means burdens. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." So I want to run this race. I'm serious about this race. I want to win a crown, but I can't run it and win it if I'm carrying this old burden around all the time. So you know what I need to do? Before I got to take this burden over to Jesus, and I need to cast it upon Him. Say, "Lord, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm not going to let it be a burden to me anymore. I'm not going to let it slow me down anymore. Lord, I'm trusting You with it. I'm giving it to You. You carry that for me, please, Lord." Amen. You told me to cast my cares upon You. That's what these burdens are. Amen. There are just some things that you're going to have to trust Christ with. Things that cause you to worry and things that cause you to fret and things that cause you to fear. Things that drag you down and hold you back. Things that you can't do anything about. But God can. And you need to trust Him. You know what we do? We take our burden to the Lord. We leave it there. And then we run for a while. And then we go over and we pick it back up again. And we start running with it again. He said, "Cast all your care, leave it there." Isn't that what the song says? The second thing we need to lay aside and get... I'm a lot lighter without that. Next thing we need to lay aside is our sins. Now here's my sins. Now I can run with them, but I can't run as well with these. So he says, you know what to do? He says, now what are these sins? These are sins. Those are weights. Those are burdens. Those are cares. Those are distractions that weigh me down. But these are sins. You got to lay them down. You got to put them under the blood. Sins. This word sins, it says they so easily beset us. This word beset means to thwart or to hinder. Sin always hinders our running. Sin presents obstacles that keeps us from running effectively. You see, we're running and we got to stop and smoke that cigarette. We're running, we got to stop and take that drink. We're running, we got to stop and look at that pornography. We're running, we got to stop and watch that soap. We're running, we got to stop and do some gossip. We're running and we got to stop. We're getting all frustrated by attitudes. You understand? It's hard to run a race with a bad attitude. How about the sin of laziness? We're just too lazy to run. We're too comfortable to compete. And so in lethargy, we lag behind farther and farther and farther. If you want to run this race, you got to run lightly, a little lighter. How do you do that? You take your burdens and you give them to Jesus. He'll carry them for you. You take your sins and you set them aside. Those sins which so easily... You know which one I'm talking about, don't you? You know which ones I'm talking about. Those sins in your life that so easily beset you might not so easily beset me, but they beset you. He said, you got to put them aside. They're not worth it. Whatever it is, it's not worth it. It's keeping you from a prize, a crown that you can get in glory to cast at Jesus' feet someday. The command to lay aside means it's our choice. It means we can if we want to, and we won't if we don't. And so we need to run lightly. Number two, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, right there, the word. We need to run patiently. Look what it says. And let us run with patience the race or the life that is set before us. This word patience means cheerful endurance. We need to know that the race is not won quickly. It's not won easily. Life is a marathon and not a sprint. And I believe that there are more Christian sprinters than there are marathoners. We have to run the race with patience. You know, there are going to be things in the race that will require endurance. 1 Corinthians 13:7 talks about love. And true love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You know what that means? When we have a true love for the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll endure whatever comes our way. We'll keep running for Jesus. We'll keep running for Jesus. We'll see Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we'll just keep running. And the wind can blow, and the rain can come, and the thunder can clap, and the lightning can flash. We'll just keep running. We're enduring. Why? For Jesus. Why? Because we love Him. You know why many Christians drop out of the race? They don't love the Lord very much. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1:4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. There's going to be some persecutions in the Christian life. There's going to be some tribulations in the Christian life. He said, but you endure anyway. You just keep on going. In 2 Timothy 2:3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's going to be hard times in the race. There's going to be uphills in the race. There's going to be craggy roads in the race. But you keep running anyway. Why? Because you love the Lord. Hebrews 12:7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? You know, sometimes the Lord's just going to have to get the spanking stick out on you. Why? Because he came to you through his word and by his Holy Spirit and convicted you about something and you just didn't pay attention. And he came to you with his Holy Spirit through his word, and he convicted you of something you didn't pay any attention. And he said to you, how many times I got to tell you? You ever been there, parent? What's the next thing you're thinking about when you say to a child, hey, how many times I got to tell you not to do that? The next thing you're thinking about is a spanking stick. I still remember my dad's spanking stick. Here it was, right here. That big old paw of his. God will get a spanking stick out. I don't know what his spanking stick will be for you, and I don't know what it always is for me, but he has a way of chastening us. The Bible says he chastens us because he loves us. Just like a parent will discipline his or her child because they care how they grow up, they care what kind of people they become, they care what kind of Christians they grow up to be, God will do the same thing with His kids. He will chasten you and chasten you. Why? Because He loves you and He cares about you. He wants to bless you, but He can't bless you if you're not paying attention and being obedient. Sometimes the only way to get our attention is a spanking. Seems we pay real close attention in a spanking, don't we? See, I didn't hear my dad a whole lot of times. But when he was spanking me, I heard him. I was paying real close attention. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." And so here, the Bible says we're supposed to endure temptation. What are we? We're running patiently, right? And what comes our way? Temptations. You got to endure those temptations. And they come as we're running. And they want to take us off track. And they want to get us to stop. Or they want us to get us to slow down. But we just keep on going. Why? Because we love the Lord. And then in 1 Peter 2:19, the Bible says, "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." Sometimes you're going to suffer wrongfully. Sometimes you're going to experience grief. And the Bible says, just keep on running. Endure the grief. Keep on running. Endure the temptations. Keep on running. Endure the hardness. Keep on running. Endure the persecutions and tribulations. Just keep on running. Why? Because you love Jesus. This means that we don't quit, we don't give up, we don't throw in the towel. It means we keep on going. Like the postman's creed, neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. You know what? That postman's out there and it's freezing cold. And he's bringing your mail and sticking it in your mailbox. I mean, the wind's blowing, and it's raining, and he's soaking wet. And he keep coming up to your step and putting that mail in your mailbox. I mean, it's the heat of summer. I mean, he's sweating, and he's dying of the heat. But he keeps coming to your door and putting your mail in. You know why? Because of that creed. He says, "I'm a postman. And nothing's going to keep me from my appointed rounds. I don't care if it's hot. I don't care if it's cold. I don't care if it's dry. I don't care if it's wet. I don't care if it's gloom of night. Nothing's going to keep me from my appointed rounds." Boy, we need a little bit of that, Christians. We need to say, listen, it doesn't matter what happens. I love the Lord Jesus, and nothing's going to keep me from running my race. Patiently endure. If we're going to run the race to the end, it'll require we run lightly. It'll require we run patiently. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Point number 3, we're going to have to run lawfully. And this is where a lot of Christians are getting bogged down in the 21st century. 2 Timothy 2, 5, look what it says. "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except you strive lawfully." Now here's a picture of a man who's trying to perfect his craft or his profession. Here's a runner, and he's running. He's striving. For what purpose? To get a crown. There are rules for everything. Did you hear me? There's rules for everything. Even hockey has rules. The runner must obey the rules of the race. The runner must stay on the prescribed course. Have you ever watched a downhill slalom? They got a course set out, and they got them little sticks, and you got to go run all them sticks. And if you go too wide, disqualified. Why? You're outside the sticks. You're outside the course. See, there's rules. The runner wants to receive a crown at the end of the race, then he must have run in accordance with the rules of the race. The Christian life is the race, and the Bible is the rule book. I don't know how Christians think they can be rewarded for a shabby Christian life. I don't know how Christians think they can be crowned when they have broken the rules and they've run outside the boundaries. I don't know how Christians think they can receive the prize when they've taken shortcuts. I don't know how Christians think they can receive a reward when they have sat out half the race or they've quit running. Maybe it's the philosophy of the day. Maybe it has infected Christians. The philosophy that everybody wins. Paul said, one receiveth the prize. Paul didn't say everybody wins. Paul said there's a crown of righteousness for them that love his appearing. So I guess those that don't love his appearing aren't getting that crown. Who is it that wins the prize? He or she that runs lightly, patiently, and lawfully. That's who. We live in a very impatient world. We don't want to wait for anything or anyone. And this philosophy that everybody wins is not reality. It's not biblical. I remember, I don't know how long ago it was, I believe it was James Harrison. His son was playing a sport. And his son got a trophy, but his team lost. It was a participation trophy. And James Harrison said, "Give me that trophy." And threw the trophy away. He said, my son doesn't get a trophy for participating. He gets a trophy for winning. Christian, we're not going to get crowns just for participating. Right now, y'all participating. But when we get done participating here, you need to get running out there. Amen. We have an impatient attitude. You know what attitude? Here's the attitude we have. It's my money, and I want it now. That's the attitude we have. Whatever happened to good things come to those that wait? The Bible says, wait on the Lord. David wrote, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Hebrews 6:12 says that we should be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You see, we're supposed to run with patience, but we're also supposed to run by the rules. We're supposed to run, the Bible says, lawfully. That means if God says don't do it, don't do it. That means if God says do it, do it. So we got to run lightly, lawfully, and patiently. And lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 25, we need to run temperately. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Paul the Apostle said, take a look over there at those fellas. I mean, those athletes are training every day. They're working out every day. I mean, they're getting ready. They are working. They are running. And they do it with temperance in all things. He said, what are they going to get for it? They're going to get a trophy. They're going to get some kind of physical crown. He said, we're doing it for an incorruptible crown. We're doing it for a crown that we're going to receive from the Lord Jesus that is going to last for all eternity. He said, those people that are unsaved often have more discipline and more concern for getting a crown than people who are saved and running for Jesus. The word temperate means to have self-restraint. You know what that means? It means to hold yourself back. See? My flesh wants to go that way. My spirit says, uh-uh, we're going this way. Self-restraint. It means self-control. There are many things along the race route that will try to distract you and get you off course. Things that appeal to the flesh or our carnal or worldly nature. Things that are not evil in and of themselves, but might cause us to get out of balance.
We need to have control.
We need to run with temperance. Our hearts and minds, our desires, our lusts, our time, our mouths, our emotions, and our attitudes ought to be under our own control. We need to control our temptation to quit. I remember when I told you before, when I was a young man, I was on a swim team. And there was a sign on the pool. As we would swim lap after lap after lap after lap, we'd look up at that sign and it said, "Swim till it hurts, then swim some more." That's how we have to be Christians. We got to just keep running a race. We have to keep ourselves under control. What's the temptation when you're swimming and you're swimming and your side hurts so bad you feel like you're going to explode? What do you want to do? You want to quit. But the sign says, swim some more. You know what I found? Once you swim past that point of pain, I don't know how it works, but something happens, the pain goes away, and you can swim forever. I don't know what the principle is. I should check it out someday, but I experienced it. That's what we need to do as Christians. We need to run our race. Sometimes it's going to hurt. Just keep running. Control yourself. Don't allow your lust to control you. Control you. You control the lust. Don't allow your mind to control you. You control your mind. The Bible says, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into obedience to Christ. You don't let your emotions control you. You control your emotions. Don't let your mouth control you. You control your mouth. We live in an extremely indulgent society. We don't want to deprive ourselves of anything. Now, there are some, I'm going to just say this. There are some things, when I first got saved and when I was growing up, and this wasn't that long ago.
You're right.
I mean, I'm talking like, you know, the 70s. That's not that long ago, is it? What I'm trying to say is it wasn't back in the 1800s. That's what I'm trying to say. But I remember when I was saved and I was growing up as a brand new Christian, there were things we were told we weren't supposed to do. Let me give you a couple of them. It's going to hurt. I was told we weren't supposed to play cards. I said, why? Because it doesn't honor Jesus. Okay, I'm done playing cards. They didn't even have to explain it to me. They just said, don't do it. I said, okay, I won't do it. Why? Because if it bothers Jesus, it bothers me. They said, you're not supposed to go to the movies. Amen. I said, why? Well, because it doesn't honor Jesus. Okay, no more movies. I haven't been to a movie. I have not been to a theater in over 40-some years. Wow. You say, why? Because if Jesus don't like it, I don't like it. How you know Jesus don't like it? I don't think he'd go and watch that stuff. I'm just saying. I'm just telling you how it used to be. But now people say, well, I don't want to give up this, and I don't want to give up that, and I don't want to give up that, and I don't want to go. We're a bunch of snowflakes.
That's right.
You know what? For me, giving up playing cards and giving up going to theater. And they told us we weren't supposed to be going swimming with, you know, mixed company. So you know what? We don't go swimming with mixed company. Why? Because it doesn't honor Jesus. It don't mean nothing to me. It's nothing to me. You understand?
Yeah.
But people, we don't want to deprive ourselves of anything today. I'm just telling the truth, am I not? I find it interesting that people will give up all kinds of things to lose weight, but they're not willing to give up anything to live right. We'll be careful what we eat, but we won't be careful what we say. We'll go out of our way to please our boss or our beau, but not God. 2 Timothy 2:4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I'd rather be wrong thinking I'm pleasing Jesus. I'd rather get to heaven and have Jesus say, you know what? You could have went to the movies. Then get there and say, what were you doing going to movies?
Yeah.
Huh? I'd rather get to heaven and say, man, you could have played cards. Then get to heaven and say, what were you doing playing cards? What was the son of mine? See, it don't matter. It's so small. He died on a cross for me. He gave up his life for me. He gave up his shed blood for me. He rose again from the dead so that I could live for him. And if giving up a couple of little things in this life, if that's all it takes to please him, I'll do it.
Amen.
I know I'm getting long here, but let me just tell you one thing. One little story. When I first got, I believed the Bible. I just believed the Lord. And you've heard this story, but some of you are visitors here, so you haven't heard it. When I got saved, I started reading the Bible. And I got to the place in the Bible where it says you weren't allowed to eat pork products. I didn't know any different. I went home and said, Melba, no more ham in this house. She said, why? I said, it's in the Bible, we're not supposed to eat pork products. I mean, I went to the store, I got all beef bologna, I got all beef sausage. If it had any pork in it, I went like that. No way. Was I wrong? Yeah, I was wrong.
Yeah.
But I was wrong for the right reason, I guess. I could just see the Lord up in heaven saying, oh, this kid, we got to straighten him out. God bless him. Huh? I was doing it with a conscience toward the Lord. In my heart, it was this. If God said, don't eat it, I ain't eating it. It's that simple. I can live the rest of my life without ham.
Yeah.
Now, I was glad when somebody took me aside and said, let me show you something from the Bible. And took me to the New Testament and said, well, we could eat ham. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I'm happy for that. Temperance is part of the spirit, fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 23. Temperance, controlling yourself. I'm concerned that more Christians are worried about becoming too holy than they are becoming too worldly. Did you hear that? All right. You're right here. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Look what it says. Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway is a dokimos. It means disapproved for the prize. Paul said, my body wants to do it. I say, if God said no, I say no. My eyes want to look at it. God says no, I say no. I bring my body into subjection. Why? Because I don't want to run my race and get to the end and get disapproved for the prize. He said, I'm running to obtain. I'm running to win a prize. And you know what we're going to do with those prizes when we get them in heaven? The Bible tells us we're going to cast them at Jesus' feet. Philippians 2:16, and we're almost done. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Temperance is a sign of maturity. It's a sign of being spirit-filled. Runners that win are runners who are temperate. They practice self-restraint. You entered the race when you got saved. Are you running to win? Are you going to be running at the end? You're going to run the race. But the question is how? And for what? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Will you receive the prize or will you have run in vain? I ask you, Christians, are you running or just kind of shuffling? Are you in it to win it or don't you care? It will matter when you meet Jesus face to face. The Bible says looking unto Jesus. The Bible says seeing him who is invisible. The Bible says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love. It'll matter someday how you ran your race. you have some weights you have to put aside, some sins you have to lay aside? Are you running lawfully, patiently, temperately? What is it about the way you're running your race that needs attention this morning? I hope you'll have the courage to come and talk to the Lord about it in just a moment. But before we close, I just want to encourage you to run to the end. Father, we thank you this morning for your kindness and mercies. And thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for taking us in as undeserving as we are and unworthy as we are. Thank you for loving us for as unlovely as we are. And thank you for your long suffering. And I pray, my Lord, today you'd help us as Christians to run the race the way it ought to be run for your honor and for your glory, because we love you. And Father, we want to honor you. I pray you'd bless the invitation as only you can. We'll give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Let's stand together. Sing number 482. And as we sing number 482, if the Lord's spoken to your heart today, why don't you come? Spend a minute with Him. I might have gone a little long, but it's the Lord's day, so don't cut it short now. You come. Maybe this morning you'd like to talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I needed to hear something I heard today. Or maybe something encouraged you or something motivated you. Come and talk to the Lord about it this morning. We're going to sing that first stanza. You come as the Lord leads.